Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It's my pleasure to welcome Bill Leahy back to the podcast. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me.
Well, Bill, it's been about a week since SMRP has finished up. And, you know, last year I had the opportunity to sit down with Fred to catch up and just kind of summarize what SMRP was like this year. What did we learn from it? All those great things. I figured, why not do that with you this year? So, you know, you're at SMRP this year. It was not your first event, correct? You've been a few times before?
I've been one time before, just when I first came into the industry, but this is my first time as a presenter, so it was a whole new experience for me.
All right, excellent, excellent. So you had to present this year. What did you present on?
I presented on, in the leadership track, it was Key Performance Influencers was the name of it, and it was about how to use KPIs to influence behavior. And go kind of to the next level after leading indicators. And it was really enjoyable doing it. And I had a lot of fun. I wish I knew a little bit more going into it, I guess. Like we were talking about earlier, we spend a lot of time in front of people, in front of classes and talking and entertaining and whatnot. But going up in front of the SMRP crowd was quite a bit different.
Yeah, it's not a small class of 10, 20 people. You know, it's hundreds of people sometimes. Big room, big ballroom, you're on a big stage. You know, you get all these things that, you know, it's something we're not used to.
Yeah, I didn't have hundreds, but I had day three around lunchtime, right before lunchtime. So there was a lot of grumpy faces out there, which may have been a little intimidating, but everyone seemed to soften after the first little bit, including myself. But it took a good 5 minutes to get through the introduction. But it was a lot of fun. I think it was well received, but much more intimidating than I thought it was going to be.
Well, you did a great job. You know, I sat through it, and as I was leaving, you know, I heard a couple people say, you know what, that is a very good way to explain how leading indicators work. I've never heard anyone explain it like that. And I'll even let you know, I plagiarized your example with the hockey. And use that with a client this week to explain how, you know, shots on goal, how many blocks did we do, those sorts of things, how those lead up to a potential goal on net or a winning game. And when I used that reference, it made sense to the people I was talking with this week.
Was it a Canadian client?
No, it was not. They were actually down in California.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to send out the actual spreadsheet. And we kick off this week, so we adjusted our influencers a little bit, but we play Harvard tomorrow night, so we're really excited about it and see if we can continue on our path this year.
All right, excellent. So in addition to presenting this year for the first time, you know, you had the opportunity to work the booth, right? What was that like?
That was like wearing a flight suit for 3 days, which those of you who are there know what I'm talking about. We had a Top Gun themed booth. Mr. Kovacevic even donned one for a little bit. But it was exciting. It's really fun to meet new people that are just, and I was in that position too. I was a maintenance leader at a facility, and, you kind of go into SMRP a little wide-eyed, not knowing my experience was I didn't know much. So it was really neat to bring people in and kind of explain what we do and all the options that are out there, and you can watch the pieces fall into place as you're talking to them. And that's really exciting and kind of a rewarding thing. So I really enjoyed working the booth and getting to talk with other practitioners and industry leaders and that kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I heard that, you know, there was a lot of hard decisions to be made by those in attendance this year. They're saying, you know, they want to talk to people at the booth. They want to learn about the different technologies or techniques or courses, those sorts of things. And then when they moved over to the track sessions, they're like, well, there's 6 track sessions and 4 of them I want to go to. How do I decide? You know, I heard that from a lot of different people that the track sessions this year were just fantastic. I don't know. Did you get an opportunity to disappear from the booth and go attend any?
No, actually, regrettably, I did not. The booth was my number one place, that in preparing for presenting myself. But I wish I had, but I've heard all good things too. I had a couple students that actually presented this year, and that was kind of exciting. Sadly, the one that I did really want to see, as I helped him develop the tool that he presented, was at the exact same time as me. So I wasn't able to get to go and see him.
Yeah. But yeah, I've heard it was, you know, tons of great feedback from the track sessions. Now, as people were coming to the booth, what were they asking you about? You know, aside from the flight suits, were they more interested in planning, scheduling, spare parts, FMEAs? What was the topic of interest this year?
Well, that was kind of the interesting thing. A lot of people didn't know what they were looking for. And that's kind of what I was speaking to earlier. I was the same way. I did not know what I was looking for and what could be out there. I mean, there were particular people that came in and said, we need help with planning and scheduling. That is what we're setting up. How can you help us? But a lot of times it was just tell us what you do and how you can help us. And that's always a fun question because it's so open-ended. And I mean, you obviously you're familiar with the company, but we have a lot of flexibility in what we can offer because of how small we are and how adaptable we are. And it was fun because they were basically, you know, reaching out and asking for help, and we could fill the needs that they had. But it was anything from actually one of the trends. This is one that I noticed was a lot of people are looking for help with their young engineers and getting them up to speed quickly. And more or less, what I took it as was explaining to them what a reliability engineer is and what they should be doing on site. And maybe that's just what I heard because it's something that's always fascinated me and that I'm interested in. And if you came to my track session, you heard me talk about that and how I was that person where I was unfamiliar with what I was supposed to be doing. I was put in this position, given a title and said, go. And I didn't know which end was up and it became very frustrating. So I think there's a need for that right now in industry is for that gap to be filled and for some formalized training program for these young engineers that are mechanical or electrical and they come in and all of a sudden they're a reliability engineer and they need help in figuring out which way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I heard a lot about not just that, but hey, we got this guy, we want to make him a planner. How do we get them trained? They have the technical background, but we need them to understand what they're doing as a planner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. And I actually saw the other end of that. There was a gentleman I met, he was a 23-year U.S. Army Special Forces veteran. And I'm like, I'm thinking this guy, like, he would be great, but he doesn't have the technical background. He has all the intangibles on the other side. And you put him in front of, you know, at any facility, people are going to listen to what he has to say and follow him. I'm like, God, if we could just school him up, we could present him to any client in the world and they'd be drooling over him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, for me, it may have been a little biased. I presented on, you know, spare parts and asset management plans, and I did a workshop on reliability analytics. But I got a tremendous amount of questions and feedback around the spare parts piece. I don't know if it's because that's what I presented on, but I had a lot of people asking about how do we set up our spare parts program? How do we organize our storerooms? Those very sorts of tactical things. You know, I didn't hear much about spare parts last year. Year before, I didn't hear a huge amount, but the year before that, I heard a bunch. So I don't know if it's coming in waves, but there seems to be different trends I see at all these different conferences. So this year, it was how do we train up our reliability engineers? How do we train up our planners? But on the flip side, I got a lot of questions around, how do I set up a storeroom? We don't know what we're doing.
That's interesting. And I would love to actually kind of do a study to see what's been published this year in all our periodicals and journals and stuff, and see if there's an increased focus on MROs in those years that you see a spike in the conversation. That'd be kind of something interesting to trend. But I don't know. For me, I tend to I find myself it's like when you buy a new car and you have that minivan that you think is all special and unique, and then you start driving around and you realize that everyone's got the same thing. That might be a bit of it.
And absolutely. You know, I presented on the topic, so maybe people just wanted to talk to me about it more than anything else. That it absolutely could be that.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, though. I think that'd be kind of a fun undertaking to do. Maybe present on that at P next year about what the trends are in reliability engineering and manufacturing at the time and what people are looking for. I wonder what the correlation would be or where we could find that.
Well, if I had to guess right now, the trend would be IoT, machine learning, AI, and stuff of that nature, at least from a publication standpoint.
Yeah, and that actually surprised me too, because at the booth, I did have a couple people come up and they wanted to talk like deep learning and technologies and Raspberry Pis and all these different things. And I was like, well, this was kind of unexpected. I didn't think that someone would be reaching out for help in that. But there was some interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Gerardo presented something on that. So that may have been why they wanted to come to the booth and talk about it.
Yeah, well, they should have talked to him because I had some answers that I didn't. Yeah, Geraldo is very sharp. He knows that stuff back and forth. And I heard good things about his presentation as well.
Yep, absolutely. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com. So how was the rest of the conference? You know, we had a chance to network. How were the after hour events, the social events, those sorts of things?
I had a really good time. I think Louisville was actually a really great host city. The first time I heard it, I was like, Orlando sounds awesome. And then I was like, Louisville, that's an interesting choice, but it turned out to be, I thought it was fantastic venue. The location to all the nightlife and entertainment was really good. The hotel was fantastic. It was top notch. The restaurants, the food, I had a really good time. And I think that the majority of the people that came, a lot of the interface that I had was actually outside of the booth after the conference, and it was running into people that I met during the day out at that, what was it, 4th Street?
Yep.
And had a lot of great conversations down there and met a lot of interesting people. And it was fun to get away from all the formality of the conference and get some good conversations going outside of it. So I thought SMRP did a great job picking a place to go to. I think Columbus is another, it's like a wild card next year, but I've got high hopes for it. It's a great university town. I went there once about 12 years ago. It's exciting. Every year something different. I love that it moves around, but this year was they did a good job.
Absolutely. You know, I've spent a lot of time in Louisville in a past life. You know, it is a good place to go. Looking forward to Columbus. Are you planning on submitting some abstracts for Columbus this year?
Yeah, of course. I had such a good time this year that I will not give them a reason not to let me come back and present. So I'm possibly a workshop, possibly something with you. I don't know. We haven't talked about that yet, but that could be a lot of fun.
It definitely could be. I got some ideas.
All right. Yeah, we'll see how the hockey season goes. I might have to readjust my my case study if we don't do as well as we plan on. Expectations are much higher now at the Coast Guard Academy after our performance, which we should be top five in the rankings for our division and all that stuff. I will definitely be back next year. I'm looking forward to Columbus. October can't come quick enough. There's a lot of work to be done in the meantime, but I really enjoyed it. I think it was a great, great event and, worth the investment.
All right. Excellent. So, you know, what would you do differently then? What did you learn from this year that you would do differently for next year?
Okay, as a presenter, so I'll go, I can put the different hats on. So as a presenter, the things I wish I would have done differently was talk with people that have presented before, which I had complete access to lots of you guys, but I would have loved to talk to people that have presented before and kind of gauge what I could expect for audience interaction. That would have been a big thing because I had planned time into my presentation for more questions and more interaction throughout. And it didn't necessarily pan out. So I found myself looking at the clock, and that was just an added source of kind of distraction. So I would do that. I have a gauge for that now. Do a little recon of the room that you're going to be presenting in. Look at the acoustics. One of the feedback I got from both you and one of the gentlemen that was in the class was, if you're going to walk away from the mic, wear a lapel microphone, yep. Right? Isn't that what they're called? Yep. Wear a lapel microphone because everyone could hear me the entire time, but I sounded much better because the room was huge. It was a ballroom, so there's speakers everywhere. And when I was away from the microphone, things might have get lost, especially the people in the backs and the sides of the room. I did a little bit, but in the Army, we rehearse everything. And if you're a first time presenter, I can't stress that enough. What I presented was the first time I had ever presented it in front of people. It was made specifically for SMRP and, rehearse. Can't say enough of that. As a booth operator or someone behind the booth, things that I wish I would have done going back in time was get to some of the track sessions and get out there and see some of it. There was a lot of stuff I was interested in. But the booth is fun and it's interactive. It's enjoyable to be in, but it's a matter of having that discipline and taking the time to get out and go do that. And then also, I did this a couple times, excuse me, but walk the exhibition floor and get to know what is going on out there as well. So I feel like I missed an opportunity to go gain a lot of knowledge and maybe make some contacts with peers and other vendors around the area. And then, and then just as a practitioner, same kinds of things, just making sure coming up with a plan before I get there and talking with people about what I want to go do and see would have been really good. And I really wish I could have gotten on one of those tours and seen like the Louisville Slugger Factory or something like that. That would have been fantastic. So next year, Columbus, I'm going to come in like fully prepared with the fanny pack and like a stamp to do checklist and be ready to roll.
Excellent. You know, some of the same things for me, you know, make sure you practice your presentations more. But I personally think you can never practice them enough. So that just might be me. You know, I made it to a few track sessions, but you know, same thing. There was a few that I looked at that I really wanted to attend, that I missed for whatever reason. You know, people were talking to me at a booth, I was doing a podcast, whatever the case is. But trying to organize my schedule a little bit more so that the three or four track sessions that I really want to hit, I get an opportunity to. You know, those are my big things. And then always, you know, go talk to people, go meet people, those sorts of things. You can always have a great amount of fun doing that. So,
what is your, I wish I would have done at this last SMRP? Is there a restaurant you would have liked to go to? So when you would have, you missed talking with?
No, I hit the restaurant I wanted to. Me and Brandon took a client out to a particular restaurant that I love down there off Market Street. So we made sure to hit up the restaurants I wanted to. I would say either attend more track sessions or make it out to some of the team events. That would be my big thing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I'd say that the highlight for me of the week was I used to work in wood products and I was sitting at a restaurant with some clients and friends. And I look out the window and I see a 280 pound sawmiller go flying by with a backpack and a scooter, which I thought was, that was definitely the highlight of the week for me. Just that handlebar mustache flapping in the wind. And he was zooming by at like 15 miles an hour.
Well, you know, I think it was an excellent conference. As always, SMRP always does a great job at, you know, hosting these events. I'm looking forward to Columbus, especially since it's just down the road from me. Very easy drive. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the symposium in Denver. So if you haven't put an abstract in for it, it's still open, Bill.
All right. Yeah, no, I will. I would. I wouldn't mind going out to one of those ski hills out there with you. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, so I got my stuff in for that one already. And, you know, I'm looking forward to doing some more SMRP events over the next year.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. As always, James, it's always fun to chatting with you and catching up. I can't say enough about the conference. It was great. Just really enjoyed it. The people I got to interact with are wonderful. Just so many different industries represented. That's always a fun part about having the venue change too, is you just exposure to different regions of manufacturing and It was good. Yeah, just a all-around wonderful event. Really looking forward to next October. Well, now I'm looking forward to the symposium in Denver. I got to make that happen.
Well, now you got some work to do today. Well, Bill, thanks for joining us, and you have yourself a great day.
Yeah, you too, James. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.